Thank you, David. The children are dismissed for Children's Church. Thanks to everyone who prayed for me. I've been sick for 6 weeks. I got sick on December the 21st, and I was coughing from that time period. And after a while, I thought I was going to end up in a coffin. But I think some of you prayed, and God spared me. And Pastor Tim also provided me a day off where I, you know, could kind of get my feet back underneath me and stop coughing, get my voice back. So it's all good, and we're ready to go again. So let's ask him for his help as we read the word together. Father, we do thank you for this day that you've given to us. Thank you that we can look into your word and see that it applies to us, that it's speaking directly to us to help us in our daily lives. It's practical, it's real, it's personal. Lord, it's exactly what we need. Lord, thank you for your love for us, which is so great. And Lord, we just pray that you'll shed your love on us anew as we read your word together. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Today we're going to read, I'm going to read 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. You know, I've been a Christian now, born-again Christian, for 45 years. And just seems like after a while, when you read the Bible, certain people's faces or their situations come to your life, come to your memory as you read a certain passage. And this passage reminds me of Cindy. Because it talks about a gentle and quiet spirit. And that's the memory that's coming to my mind today as I read through these verses. And I didn't plan this because it was Valentine's Day on Friday. Just like I didn't plan 2 weeks ago to talk about submitting to the government just because they were trying to impeach our president. It just turned out that way. Honest. So today, we try to find some things in God's word that will make us better tools for him as we live together with our husbands and our wives. You see the sign out front, God, him or her, and what's the last part? And you. So it's a project, isn't it, to figure out how to live with him or her so we glorify God. All right, we're going to look at page 1015 in the Pew Bibles. It's 1 Peter chapter 3, and I'll read verses 1 through 7. It says, "Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered." I think the main theme of this passage is discovering God's way of harmony in marriage. And we have to remember as we read 1 Peter, Peter is writing to Christians who are being persecuted because of their faith. And you know, sometimes when we have pressure on us from the outside, it causes struggles in our marriage. Sometimes we have pressure on the outside, or we have also pressure on the inside, and they kind of collide. And it causes us not to be the testimony that we can be sometimes for Jesus. You know, families sometimes struggle to get along, don't they? Personalities clash, feelings get hurt, grudges are held. You know, no marriage is perfect because guess what? People aren't perfect. I know we always want to find the perfect lady or the perfect guy, but guess what? The only person that's perfect is who? Jesus. And this person that we decide to live with for the rest of our lives is not going to be perfect, just like we aren't. But we can be downright unlovable at times. We can be selfish. We can be stubborn. My dad used to say bullheaded. All the Swains are bullheaded. And I think that's true. And short-sighted. But guess what? God knew that we were going to be that way. He knows that we're just dust. And so he knew that we are these needy people. And I talked to Pastor Brad. He says, you know, the guys are really the needy ones, aren't they? So the needy sex are the guys. So it's amazing that God spent, in this passage, gave us 6 verses for the ladies and just 1 for the men. In the passage that David read, there are 3 for the ladies and 8 for the men. So God knew that we were going to need this instruction. And so he makes sure that he writes it to us a couple times in a couple different ways so that we get it, so we catch it. And so he had the answers already prepared about how to get along with him or how to get along with her so that Jesus can be seen through us. So let's look at some instructions today about God's way of harmony in marriage. And you know, this is a passage that I'm not going to stand up here and claim that I have all the answers, or I can, you know, really understand everything about every single verse in here. Because guess what? God's still doing his work with me. And there are things that I'm learning every day about marriage, learning to get along with Cindy and to encourage her and help her in all kinds of ways. But let's take a swing at it again today. Let's take a cut at it and see what we can grab out of this passage. Verses 1 through 6 talks about responsibilities of the wife. Responsibilities of the wife, verses 1 through 6. And the first responsibility is to submit to his leadership. Look at verses 1 and 2. I'll read from the NIV version. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. You know, submission is key, isn't it? In this passage, it starts out in chapter 2 by talking about submission to the government. And then last week, Pastor Tim talked about submission to your boss. And today it's going to talk about submission of wives to their husband. And it starts out by, you know, using this word likewise or in the same way. That's the first word there in the Greek text, likewise. It's referring us back to what is written before, submission. To submit doesn't mean to be a doormat, though, does it? Be something that every day, somebody steps on us and makes our things fall on us. But it means to voluntarily rank ourselves under somebody else, somebody else's authority. And the best image of that is in the military. where, you know, everybody has a job in the military, but they have different jobs. And the idea here is to voluntarily rank ourselves under someone else. We do that by, ladies, by allowing him to lead. Allowing him to lead. And guess what? When he's doing that, not nagging, you could have done it better. And you know, we know we could have done it better. And she's right. But sometimes we just have to stand back and let him lead because he's the leader. Not correcting him in public, but responding to him by character and conduct of who we are and what we do. You know, husbands and wives have to decide early on in their marriage to be partners and not competitors. I saw this when we taught our Czech students in our English classes at the college in Prague. You know, one time I had a whole classroom of ladies, and I asked them what they were going to do when they got married. What are they going to do financially? Who's going to, you know, what are you going to do with your money? And they were all working on their masters or their doctorates, and they said, well, this guy I'm going to marry, he's going to have his account and his checking account, and I'm going to have my account and my checking account. And I said, well, in theory, that might be okay in your mind, but it doesn't work that way. In marriage, it's no longer mine or yours. It's ours. It's ours together. And this is a deep oneness only possible for believers to have in marriage. It's one of the reasons why Pastor Tim and I won't marry someone who's, you know, a couple that aren't both believers, because we want them to be able to experience this oneness that they can have in Christ of being on the same boat, you know, going in the same direction, so they can have harmony in their walk with Jesus. So first of all, submit to his leadership. That's the first responsibility of the wife. Secondly, be spiritually feminine. Be spiritually feminine. Look at verses 3 and 4. It says, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. A lot of stuff in verses 3 and 4, aren't they? A lot of practical things you can get out of those verses. It never tells us that we shouldn't dress up or that we shouldn't wear makeup or any of those things, but it shouldn't be the main focus of our lives. And there's a contrast in verses 3 and 4 between two words in the Greek text there. The Greek word for cosmos, and it's where we get the word cosmetics. And the other word is cardia. It's where we get the word heart. So it's this contrast between, you know, exterior things, cosmos, the world, and the heart. The heart. So the passage, verse 3 and 4, is directing us to focus on the inner self rather than the outward glamour of the world. You know, during the first century, when this passage was written, it was very fashionable to spend fortunes on hair. You know, the ladies would have their own hair, but then also sometimes they'd add other people's hair to, you know, have the big hair look. And they would have like combs that were made out of gold or silver, and they would have jewels, you know, that were all in there worked up in this hairdo that they have. So it was kind of an emphasis, you know, look at me, look at what I can be because of my hair. But those things don't last, do they? Glamour is corruptible, it decays and fades. It can be put on or taken off in just a couple hours, can it? But true beauty from the heart grows more wonderful as the years pass. It takes a lifetime to build that kind of beauty. The words there to focus on are purity, reverence, a gentle and quiet spirit. Those are the things that we're supposed to cultivate. I heard a story about a little old lady. And she lived in town, and she was so impressed by the neighbor girl who lived next door. And she didn't say anything, but she watched as this girl sometimes would mow her grass. And if she didn't get out there in time, she would rake her leaves for her. And she would shovel her snow, even in wintertime. So one time she was going to get the mail, and she passed this girl on the sidewalk, and she stopped her. And she said, "Girl, how did you get to be such a nice lady? A nice young lady." And the girl looked at her and said, "Well, when I was younger, I had a drug problem." And the old lady was surprised, and she said, "Really?" She said, the girl said, "Yeah, I got this from my parents. My parents drugged me to church, and they drugged me to youth group. And in our home, you know, they drugged me to these meetings where we studied the Bible together. And it was there that I met Jesus, and he changed my life. That makes me the person that I am, because I'm cultivating the things that I'm learning when I study God's word." So she had discovered the secret of being spiritually feminine. Third thing I found in this passage is found in verses 5 and 6. Imitate God-given examples that the Bible gives to us. It says, "For this in the same way, the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear." Imitate God-given examples. And these examples are given to us in the Old Testament. I really like 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 11, it says this about the Old Testament, the stories in the Old Testament. I'm currently reading through the Old Testament again, the whole Bible again, and I'm reviewing these stories in the Old Testament. And verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 10 says this: "These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come." So the Old Testament stories are there for a reason. They're there as examples and warnings for us. In this passage, especially, Sarah is mentioned. And it tells us ladies to become, not me, but it tells ladies to become daughters of Sarah, to be like Sarah. Sarah obeyed Abraham and called him Lord. You might think about Abraham's life, and you might come up with this, well, you know, the Bible says that Abraham was this guy of great faith. But God, the guy you have given to me is not a guy of great faith. Well, let's step back away from this a little bit and see this guy of great faith. Think about this from Sarah's perspective. First of all, Abraham said he received a vision from God, and he left everything and moved away from all their friends, all their possessions, into a land that they didn't know. Sarah called him Lord and went with him. You know, the second thing he did was twice in his life, he had her to pretend that she was his sister to save his own skin. This guy of faith, can you imagine? Yeah, this is my defender. This guy, you know, is standing up for me. And he says, tells these kings and these really bad guys that I'm his sister, not his wife. Oh. And he gave up their best property to this cousin he had named Lot. Remember that story? You know, Lot wanted it. Lot got to choose. And they got the leftovers for their sheep. That's bad. When you want your guy to step up and say, you know, we could use some of this good stuff too, Abraham. And then Abraham tells her, God has told me that I should go and sacrifice my son. You know, maybe she said, you know, hold supper off. He said, or maybe hold supper off a little bit later tonight because we're going to go up on the side of this mountain because God has told me to sacrifice our only son, Isaac, that we waited years and years and years for because I think this is what God is telling me to do. So Sarah didn't have a perfect marriage, did she? She didn't have this perfect guy that always provided everything to her in the way that she thought it should happen. But because of her faith in her insecure and imperfect marriage and her perfect God, Sarah became an example for all believers, for you and me today. We should imitate God-given examples. So those are some of the things, responsibilities of the wives that we found in verses 1 through 6. Guys, you thought you were going to get away with this today, didn't you? Without hearing anything about what we have to do. Some responsibilities that we have. And there's only one verse in this passage that talks to guys. But it's a goodie. It's a real good one. Because there's practical things in verse 7. That we have to take to heart. Verse 7 says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life so that nothing will hinder your prayers. It's the second paragraph in this passage that we're reading today. Verses 1 through 6 is one paragraph. And verse 7 is the second paragraph. And both these paragraphs start with the word likewise in the same way. So it's referring us back again to submission to the government, submission to your boss, submission to each other. Responsibilities of the husband. First of all, live with her, according to verse 7a. Husbands, in the same way, be considered as you live with your wives. The word there for live means to dwell with her closely. And it's combined with being considerate with her. And the passage that David read refers us back to Genesis 2:24, which I think is really key for any marriage. Where it says, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. You know, it's not just the wedding that's important that we should focus on, but it's the marriage. You know, when you decide, yes, you decide I do with this guy or with this lady, you're leaving your father and your mother. It means you're leaving them physically. You're leaving them spiritually. You're leaving them emotionally. And now you got this lady or this guy, and you're going to cling to her or to him with everything that you got. And you're going to start a new family, a new direction for you. And it's just because of her that you would do this, because she's so special. And there'll be one flesh. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, they're joined together. You know, getting married is not just deciding, you know, to live with somebody and putting up with her or tolerating her, but it's to be one with her, to live with her, to dwell with her, to be home with her when you are home, not just present, not just physically home, but to be emotionally home, to be accessible and listening to her. And my suggestion is for young couples especially, is to get rid of the phone when you're home. Get rid of the phone. Don't allow the phone at the supper table. There is nobody that's more important to talk to at the supper table than your wife and your kids. People can wait. It can wait. We used to wait. You don't have to talk to everybody right away. They can wait. Because the focus, when you come home after you've worked all day, and if your wife is home, she's around these little kids all day, she has nobody to talk to, is to talk with her and for her to talk to him. Don't let anybody take that time away from you. Live with her. Be accessible and listening to her. The second thing I found in verse 7 is know her. Know her. It says, as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner. Know her. It means according to knowledge as the weaker partner, with deep understanding and appreciation. Know her needs and her dreams. Someone asked Mrs. Einstein once if she understood Dr. Albert Einstein's theory of relativity. And she said, no, but I understand the doctor. I understand him. So understand her. And the second thing that I found there in that passage is appreciate her. Now, Cindy showed me a video this week of some young guys who decided to go to Cuba. They thought, they're going to follow all these ads about travel, travel ads, and just do their own trip to Cuba because it's such a great place. So they get to Cuba and they have a drone in their suitcase. So that's illegal. I mean, really illegal to go to a communist country and bring a drone, And so the police were all over them. So it took them 7 hours to get through customs at the airport. Usually it takes you like 10, 15 minutes to get through customs. And so then they got out and they decided, oh, let's rent a car and let's go for a ride around town. So they rented a car and they needed gas. Well, guess what? All the gas stations were closed because all the other communist countries right now are having trouble making gasoline, especially the ones in South America. There was one gas station open, so it took 8 hours waiting in line to buy gas. And then they thought, well, we're getting kind of hungry, so we're going to go to the grocery store. And they get to the grocery store, and the grocery store is closed because in communist countries, they're only open for a certain amount of time, and you have to stand in line to get into that country, So they get inside the grocery store, and they look around for food, and guess what? There's no fresh meat. There's no fresh vegetables. There's like one row of bean stuff. This package of bean things. The same exact thing that they could buy and eat. So they bought that and they got out of there. Then they decided, well, let's go to this part of town that used to be great before the communists took over. And they started walking down this place and it was all just totally destroyed. There was garbage in the street. There were like homeless people everywhere. No one was living there anymore. It was like burned out houses without roofs. They said, oh, it's the end of the day, so let's go home. So they went back to the hotel. And 3 o'clock in the morning, guess what? Knock at the door. Secret police. Open up. They came with their big guns. And they interrogated them to early morning. And then they said, we got to get out of here. So they got in their car, went down to the embassy, American embassy, and the American embassy said, guess what? We can't help you. You're outside our fence. You're here illegally. We can't help you. Get out of here. So they went down to the airport, and they got out of there, and they said, there were no rights. You have no rights when you go there. There's no First Amendment. There's no Second Amendment. There's no Third. You have no rights. You can't buy food. You can't buy gasoline. You can't buy any of these things. And they got back to America. Guess what was on their mind? We really appreciate what we have here. We've got a good here. Guess what, husbands? We should appreciate our wives. Appreciate all the things that they do for us. Thank them. Say thank you. She's special. And you chose her because she's special. Know her dreams. Know her needs. Understand her. Appreciate her. Third thing, honor her, according to verse 7c. Treat them with respect as the weaker partner, as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life. As fellow people, we're going to receive something from God with you, fellow heirs. Make her your top priority in your life. Guys, we have a lot of priorities, don't we? A lot of things that push on our time and our efforts, our desires. But guess who beside God should be the number one priority in our life? Yeah, that's right. That one that's sitting right next to you, her. She should be the number one priority for your life. And that priority means also protecting her and respecting her. Be her knight in shining armor. Treat her as your princess. She's special. Treat her that way. You know, a husband should treat his wife as an expensive, beautiful, fragile vase in which are our precious treasure. That's the way you treat your wife. Finally, the last thing that I found in this passage is lead her spiritually, 7D. It says, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. You know, I think Peter took for granted that they would pray together. And, you know, we should be doing that as husbands and wives, praying together with our wives. And if we can, reading the Bible with them too, leading them in those ways, getting them to church, leading her spiritually. You know, that's really a divine threat, isn't it, to people who are believers, that for some reason our prayers would not be answered. Can you imagine? Yeah, I belong to Jesus, but God isn't listening to my prayers anymore. Because guess what? I'm not treating my wife the way God has told me that I should treat my wife. The word there for hindered is a special term. It's a military term for digging a trench. This isn't just a little like goalie. This is like an anti-tank trench that is dug. You know, you would dig them like sideways in the road. And then anything that tries to go down the road, guess what? Can't get across. And that's what it's talking about here. You know, treat your wife as God says in his passage, or we were not going to be able to communicate with God. If we ignore our wives, we won't be able to get through to God. That's what we want, isn't it? We want to be able to pray and talk with God. In Friday's paper, I wrote an article, the Ashland paper, and I talked about the most important things. The most important things for people are listening to God and talking to God. We listen to God when we read his word. When we read the Bible, God speaks to us. He speaks to our heart. He uses his word to do that. And we talk to God when we pray. So if we're not fulfilling our responsibilities to our wives, guess what? We're missing out on 50% of the most important things. Listening to God, talking to God. So that's God's way of harmony in marriage. Wives, submit to his leadership. It's something he doesn't have to tell you to do. It's never in the Bible, it never says, husbands, tell your wives to submit to you. It doesn't say that. It's the idea of you do this on your own. You decide on your own to submit voluntarily to his leadership. Be spiritually feminine. Allow the word of God to control your emotions, your life, your desires, your function, the way you act. Imitate God-given examples, not what you see on TV or what you see in the magazines. I mean, maybe you can get some good ideas from there, but the main thing should come from the Bible, from the Old Testament. And guys, live with her. Be accessible and listen to her. Know her. Know her needs and her dreams. Honor her as your top priority for your life. Besides your relationship with God, as your top priority in your life. And lead her spiritually. You can work it out. Pray with her. Be God's man for her in her life. Just a couple questions as we close. Got harmony in your marriage? Do you got harmony? I know it's not, you know, there's that advertisement, got milk. It's not got milk. It's got harmony. Got harmony in your marriage? Are you feeling pressure from the outside, from work or from just the world coming at you? Let's decide today to give our marriages to God in a new way, a new fresh way, depending upon Him. We're not going to be perfect. We're not going to do it 100% right the first day, but God's going to help us as we dedicate these things to Him. You know, there was a guy named Mr. Elliot, and he was a missionary. He gave his life so that people, the Aki Indians, could hear the gospel. And he wrote a lot of letters to his wife, Elizabeth. And he always signed his letters at the end with devoted, truly devoted to you. That's the way it was. She knew wherever he went, he was truly devoted to God, truly devoted to her. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your love for us. Thank you so much for challenging us and helping us to know you better and to know how you can bless us and bless our wives and or our husbands, whoever we are, with your word, with your spirit. Thank you, God, for helping us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.